In the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we find kind of a machlokas between the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachai. It's not really a machlokas, but we'll call it something like that. The Rabbeinu Bachai says, both of them, both the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachai, say that the story of Egypt, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was not just a story about what happened to our Avos, but it's also a simon to what will happen to the Jewish people in the future. In other words, we can look at the story of Egypt, and it's a hint, it's a remez to what will happen to the Jewish people in their final gullus, which is the gullus of Romi that we're in now. They're, just as background, they're, in the Navi and Daniel tells us about that there are four gulluses, four different types of exiles that the Jewish people went through. One of them is Bavel, Babylon. One of them is Paras and Madai. That's one. Persia, the story of Purim. Another is Yavon, Greece, and the final one is Rome, and that is the one that we are considered to be in today until the Mashiach comes, hopefully, b'mhirah b'yameinu. But the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is supposed to be a hint to our gullus now, our current gullus, the gullus of Rome. And if we want to know how it's going to end, we can figure it out from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. So then the part where they're different is the Rabbeinu Bachai, even though he quotes this the Ramban in one place, but most of the time the Rabbeinu Bachai says that we have to look at the story of the Jews leaving Egypt. In other words, the Jews going down to Mitzrayim and all that is the story of Egypt, and the story of them leaving, meaning the Jewish people as a whole leaving Egypt, is how what will happen to us in the future. So, for example, at the end of Shmos, at the end of Parsha Shmos, so Moshe comes to Paro and tells him that you should let the Jewish people go. Paro says, I'm not letting them go, and not only that, I'm going to make life a lot worse for them. And Moshe goes back to Hashem and says, why'd you do this? Why'd you send me? And Hashem says, you know, thanks, I got it covered. It'll get better. They're going to go out. So the Rabbeinu Bachai there at the end of Shmos says that this is the way it's going to be in the future Gullus, in the future Geula. When we in the future get redeemed, the Geula will come in stops and starts. It'll look like the Geula is starting, and then the Goel will be hidden, and then he'll come back again, just like the Geula out of Mitzrayim went and didn't go smooth and went and stops and starts. So too the final Geula also will come that way. It'll look like it's starting, and then things may go horribly worse, and then it'll come back again, and then it'll be the final Geula. So that's what Rabbeinu Bachai says. Also, at the beginning of the era, when we have the four Lashonos Shel Geula, Hotzeiti, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Levelakachti, those famous four Lashonos of Geula, Rabbeinu Bachai says at the beginning of the era, there are also four Lashonos of the future Geula that are mentioned in Yechezkel, as it says, Votseisi, it's in Yechezkel, Paraklam, Adala, Pasuk, Yudgimel, Votseisi, Mina, Amen, Miki, Batsta, Mina, Ratzos, Vaviosim, Alad, Masam, Varias, Varisim, Alehari, Yisrael, that we will go out from the Gayim and we will be returned to Eretz Yisrael. And there are also four Lashonos there. So the point is that Rabbeinu Bachai sees in us leaving Mitzrayim a hint to what will be in the future when we leave our current gullus. That's the Rabbeinu Bachai. The Ramban has something very similar, but not quite the same. The Ramban, at the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, says that Yaakov's going down to Egypt and Yaakov's leaving Egypt is a sign to our current gullus. So, again, the Rabbeinu Bachai quotes this as well. I'm not sure if they're arguing, but this is the Ramban's point. He says it in Vayigash and in Vayechi, is that if you want to know what's going to happen to the Jewish people in the current gullus, you look to Yaakov Avinu, his personal going down to Mitzrayim, and his leaving. When did Yaakov leave? He left not alive, right? He left in a coffin. He was brought back by Yosef at the end of Parshas Vayechi. He's brought back by Yosef and the brothers, in a coffin back to Eretz Yisrael, and is finally buried in Israel. And that, the Ramban says, is a remez to our current gullus and how we will be returned eventually to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, he's very specific, actually. He says that the way Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim was because the brothers caused it. His sons caused him to have to go down to Mitzrayim. And eventually, it was also because of the famine that he himself the whole thing started, that they went down. The brothers kind of caused him to be there. He thought he'd only live there for a short time till things passed. And then eventually he lived there and he died there. And then Yaakov eventually comes back to Israel, although not alive. He's brought by Paro's chief officers, Yosef and Paro's officers, and they bring him to Eretz Yisrael, and they make a great funeral, a great mourning for him. So the Ramban says that's exactly how it's going to be in the future Geula, and how it was. In other words, we caused ourselves to, it's our Agrippas, the last king of the Jews in Bayesheni. Agrippas made a contract with the Romans. He brought them in. And at the end, it was the famine, right? They burnt down all the storehouses of food, so the Biryonim burnt down the storehouses of the food so that the Jews would have to fight. So famine caused us to get be brought eventually to Rome. And we thought we wouldn't be there that long, but it turns out that the Gullah seems to last forever. And when we go back, finally, to Eretz Yisrael, it's not going to be alive. It's going to be as if, obviously not actually that we're dead, but as if we are alive. I'm sorry, as if we're dead, like a dried bones. And we will be brought back to Eretz Yisrael by the Goyim, and there will be this great mourning for themselves. When they see, he says, Evel Kevid Birosim Kvodena, when they see that the honor that we get when we go back to Eretz Yisrael, they will be in a great mourning. And V'anachnu Nireh B'nikbas Hashem, and we will see the vengeance of Hashem, and that's what's going to be. So the point is, the Ramban is not looking at when the Jewish people left Egypt, like the story with Moshe. Forget that. It's the story of Yaakov himself going back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the story of the Jewish people in the final Gullus. That was very interesting. So let's think about the Ramban's version, how that works with our current Gullus. Because the Ramban ends off at the end that we will see Nikmas Hashem. That is not part of the story. It's not clear where the Ramban got that from. In other words, we know, yes, that Yaakov was brought back and all that, and they had that great mourning, the funeral that was done for Yaakov when he got back. But the part that we will see the Nikmas Hashem, where did that come from? Okay, so to answer that, and to discuss more fully the point we're going to get to, we have to look at the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph tells us the full story of what happened when Yaakov's body was getting brought back to Eretz Yisrael. A lot of this is brought in Rashi and Ala Torah, but not every last bit. So let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says that when Yaakov came there, so people came out to stop them from burying Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael. Remember, this is in our Nimshal, this is the Jewish people being brought back to Israel. And someone came out to stop them. Who? So Rashi and Chumash says the people of Canaan and the Yishmaelim. The Gemara in Sota says Bnei Esav and Yishmael and Bnei Keturah. Okay, so whatever it is, it was the someone and the Yishmaelim came out to stop Yaakov being buried there. And when they saw Yosef was with them, right? So Yosef put his crown on Yaakov's tomb. When the Yishmaelim saw that Yosef's crown was on Yosef's tomb, they stopped. They didn't stop them anymore, and they put their crowns on Yosef's tomb. Okay, so if you wanted to explain that al pi drush, obviously if we can hope, when we started coming back to Eretz Yisrael, it was the Yishmaelim who came out against us as well. The Yishmaelim, loosely, we'll call the Arab nations. They came out to stop us as well, the Yishmaelim. What will ultimately cause them to get out of our way? Apparently, Kisro Shel Yosef. What is Kisro Shel Yosef? What's the crown of Yosef? So I would suggest Yosef is best known for his standing up to immorality, to Znus. Yishmael, if you look in the writings of Rav Tzadok and others, Yishmael is not good at Znus. He is the Koach of Znus. And for Yosef to put his crown on Yaakov's tomb, perhaps that means when the Jewish people are able to fully conquer all things related to that, to immorality, to, you know, anything to do with inappropriate behavior and thoughts and seeing things, when they're able to put their crown on the tomb of Yosef, that is when Yishmael gives way. Perhaps that's an explanation. Either way, that's only my conjecture. But let's get to the other part of the story. So after that, someone else comes to stop them. Esav. Esav comes with his army, and he wants to stop... the Gemara doesn't mention an army, just says Esav, but if you look in Targum Yonasan, you'll see it was Esav and his army. Esav came with an army to stop Yosef and his brothers from burying Yaakov. And the story the Gemara quotes is that Esav said, I'm entitled to a portion here. I'm also the son of Yitzchak. I'm entitled to a portion of Maaras HaMachpelah. You have no right to bury him here. Leah was already buried there, so there was only two spots left. Okay, so he took one spot. He gave it to his wife. Very nice. I get the other spot. And the brother said, what are you talking about? You sold your portion in Maaras HaMachpelah to Yaakov. Esav says, go ahead, let's see the shtar. So Naphtali is supposed to be very fast. They send Naphtali back to Egypt to get the shtar that said that Esav sold his portion in the Maaras HaMachpelah. Okay. While Naphtali is running to go get the shtar, or according to other Midrashim, after he came back, whatever it is. So there's this person named Chushim. Chushim ben Dan is deaf. And so therefore, he did not know what was going on. He hadn't heard. And he went over and he motioned to someone and said, what's going on? And they told him that Esav wasn't letting them bury Yaakov because he was saying that he's entitled to the spot. So the Gemara says that Chushim took out a club and bashed Esav in the back of the head. His eyes popped out and landed on Yaakov. Gemara says Yaakov's eyes opened up, and Yaakov smiled. V'hainu dechsiv, and that's what it says, Yismach tzadik ki chazan nakam. A tzadik will be happy because he saw vengeance. Okay? So there's that part of the Ramban, presumably he's referring to. At the very end of the story with Yaakov, Yaakov sees vengeance because Chushim, who is his deaf grandson, knocks out Esav's eyes and falls on Yaakov. Yaakov's eyes open and he smiles. How could Yaakov's eyes open and smile? So some bring some achronim bring from here. This is the idea that we say elsewhere in Tainis, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Yaakov Avinu never really died. What that means, I don't know. But that's he opened his eyes and he smiled. Okay, that's the end of that Gemara. What does that all mean? Well, in its short meaning, Chushim is a deaf son. He's not aware of what's going on. But what was really going on? Yaakov, also known as Yisrael, is not getting the proper kavod that Yaakov should get. Chushim stands up for the honor of Yisrael. The honor of the Kvod Yisrael, the honor of Yisrael is, Yisrael can't help himself. Yaakov Avinu can't help himself. He's dead. He can't do anything. It's not inappropriate. It's beneath his honor to just left out there. He needs to be buried. Chushim, the child who is disabled, Chushim gets up and stands up for the honor of Yaakov. And that is how Esav is finally destroyed, which is an amazing thing if you come to think about it. Based on this Ramban's mashal, the way Esav, in the end, finally, is destroyed is because someone stood up for the honor of Yisrael and bashed his head in. Now, if you look at the Tosfos Shantz on the side of the page, you'll see that he asks that the Yerushalmi says that really Yehuda killed Esav. So maybe we could put these two together and say that Chushim bashed his eyes in, and it's Yehuda who actually chopped his head off, which is the way, it's supposed to be, because Yehuda is supposed to be Malchus Mashiach from David, is supposed to get rid of Esav in the end of days. But what we see from here anyway is that the way the Jewish people get saved ultimately from Esav is by someone standing up for Kvod Yisrael, which makes a lot of sense because we know the whole reason we were in Gullus to start with is because of sinas chinam, people not standing up for each other's honor, just the opposite. So it makes sense that the ultimate tikkun would only happen through someone standing up for Kvod Yisrael. But what's interesting is who's the one who stood up for Kvod Yisrael? It was someone with disabilities. That is the person that maybe is part of the story, in the sense that if the ultimate ke'ula, at least in its mushal, comes from someone with disabilities, perhaps that's a sign to us that our Kvod Yisrael has to go even there, or maybe especially there. When we stand up for the honor of the Jew, it's not just the Rosh Hashiva. You stand up for the honor of every Jew, even someone maybe who has disabilities, maybe someone who you might think isn't the most honorable person. Standing up for everybody, standing up for the honor of everybody, that's what ultimately helps us beat Esav. We know there's a mitzvah in the Torah of De Machsero Asher Yechser Lo, that we have a chiyuv to give tzedakah, and that includes whatever a person is lacking. So Chazal are clear that goes to whatever the person lacks. A person that used to be rich, and now they had to sell their mansion, and they can get over that, and they sold all kinds of stuff, but it bothers them that say that they don't have the newest iPhone or whatever. If that's what really bothers them most, and they, you know, so then there's a mitzvah tzedakah. You could use tzedakah money to help to buy that guy an iPhone, even though it'd be like, buddy, I can't even like afford, you know, rent or whatever, food, and you're complaining about your iPhone. Well, you're right. The person who needs food comes first. But if there's money to go around, that person, you can use tzedakah money to help that person get an iPhone, because that person is lacking. They are used to being wealthy. Now they're not anymore. It's incredibly painful for them. And if they need certain things because they're lacking without it, then there's a mitzvah tzedakah for that. So to come up with what a person needs, you have to change the way you think, because maybe the rich guy who needs his newest iPhone, he's not going to ask for it because he knows how bad it looks to ask for it. But you have to proactively think, what do people need? And that's part of chesed. Rabbi Sachs from England, I once heard him say that we need a change every time we hear the word in society, self to other, like self-esteem and self-centeredness. So change that to other esteem and other centeredness, then we become great people. That's what the Torah requires, to become exactly that, other-centered and other esteem, to focus on what somebody else's needs are and help them. But again, that requires thought and effort. It's not just when people tap you on the shoulder and ask you. It requires thinking what someone else needs. And that's the real avas chinam that we need. It's a good example. If you're at some kind of dinner, a meal, something where somebody showed up late, and you know the food's going fast, put some food aside for them, hot food, so that they don't miss all the food. That requires, you know, thinking more than just yourself. You have to think about the other person. You know someone's coming, they're late, they're going to miss out on the food, take some for them and save it for them. That's thinking about other people. If you see someone looking sad, so ask them how you're doing, try to uplift them. Now, that's somewhat hard if you're self-centered to start thinking about other people. It's even harder if you can't imagine what they need, like someone with special needs. You don't know because you don't have that, or maybe you don't know anyone who has that. But if you try, if you think, how can I help people, you can come up with stuff. If you know people in your shul who are either disabled in the sense that they can't walk, or they're very elderly, does your shul have a ramp? Maybe you could think about making a ramp up to the bima, a ramp up to the shul. If someone has cognitive disabilities and in the middle of their rabbi speech, they start saying stuff, do you want to shush them publicly and embarrass them and also their family? Or you just say, you know, that's chesed. That's they don't know better. Obviously, they can't do better. And that's chesed, you know. You don't say anything. Many people, even if they don't have they can't do everything in the shul, a lot of people who are special needs are certainly capable of doing glila or maybe other things, but certainly that, it would mean a lot to them. Maybe you should give it to them more often than you do. That's chesed too. The short end of it is, if you have to love people, love all yidden, even ones with disabilities, because they may do big things. There's a great story from Revolbi. He writes in the Ali Shor, in his stories, in his Vadim about chesed. So he says that there was this old man who met him once, and when he saw Revolbi, he grasps his hands, and he asked him his name. As Revolbi told him his name, he said it was like a 90-year-old man. And he said, back where he came from in Europe, when a Jew saw another Jew, so they would give thanks to Hashem that they have another Jew to love. If you imagine this, I'm sure Revolbi was telling the truth. This story happened as he said it. You imagine like some town in Europe, you know, where like the sight of another Jew, being so excited that there's someone else that we can love. Obviously, we could love all people, but especially we have a mitzvah to love Yidden. And so it's something we all need to think about. How can we help other people? But it starts with an Ahavas Yisrael. And like Chushim Ben Dun did, standing up for the honor of a Yisrael at all times, thinking how we can help another Yisrael, how we can love them. And through that, we should be zocheh to bring the Geulah.